This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
You know, normally I don't like to pat myself on the back, but tonight I will.
So Russell Westbrook has done it. The unbreakable record has been broken. He now has the most career triple-doubles in NBA history, 182.
It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, your smart speaker, Bob Schuessen and Chris Carlin. Hour number two, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on Barton Hahn appear on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm not sure who it was to put that whole open together, but they, like, know what they're doing. Right? I love the open to this show. Bart screaming, can't wait. The Star Wars thing, it just, you know what, it works for me. And who also does an awesome job. And there is so much. Football never stops being something that we can talk about. And who better to talk about it with than our resident GM, Mike Tannenbaum, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike T, Bob, and Chris, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you guys. How's everybody?
We are doing great. We're doing a lot better than everybody out there that continues to hate Tim Tebow. And you know what? You made this decision a long time ago. You brought Tim Tebow to the Jets. From kind of that 30,000-foot view now, when you take a look at what Urban Meyer may or may not be doing with Tim Tebow, like, what was your first reaction when you heard that he was going to get a crack at it with the Jags?
You know, I was a little surprised, but I wasn't shocked. You know, coaches have proclivities to sign players that they've had success with, you know, so from that standpoint, you know, look, they had historic success together. It was obviously a different time and place. I think it's going to be really hard for Tim to make it as a backup tight end in the NFL at 34. Backup players have to play special teams, and I just don't see Tim running down covering kicks. And it'll be interesting to see if he makes the team, because if you do it on merit, it's obviously going to be a huge long shot.
Mike, this is what I don't understand, and tell me if I'm wrong for thinking this way. Tim Tebow, at this age, having never played the position, being in camp, is taking away an opportunity from a younger tight end that might have gotten an invitation to a training camp as a result. He won't get that now. Am I wrong for thinking that way?
Well, that's true, but, you know, there are 90 spots, Chris, so, you know, in theory, you know, it's one spot out of 90, and yeah, in theory you're right, but him going to camp is one thing. Him making the team is, to me, a totally different conversation.
See, this is why Mike T and I get along, right? It's exactly what I said. I was trying to explain that to him, right? I mean, I think we're taking, as I said, a firecracker and turning it into a mushroom cloud. Mike, if he makes the team and balls are bouncing off his helmet, and he can't catch anything, and he can't block anybody, and it just looks like an Urban Meyer pet project, I think Urban loses the locker room before he even coaches on day one. If he deserves it, and you can watch him in training camp earn it, that's a different story. But where this is at right now, are we making too big a deal out of one training camp invite?
Well, one thing I will say is, like, when you just compare, like, Brett Favre and Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, you know, brought more eyeballs when we were at the Jets than Brett Favre did. And candidly, I was very surprised by that, because I thought, you know, here's a, you know, all-time great, iconic quarterback, can't get any bigger. And, you know, I was wrong. It got bigger with Tim. And that's because everybody has a strong feeling about Tim Tebow. Some love him, obviously some don't. So it is, to me, probably more than a firecracker, because I think once you get to training camp, Tim Tebow will certainly be the big story.
Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office executive insider, joining us right now on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike, when I look at the fact that you're going to bring a guy in like that, knowing what you knew back then, the idea that you guys tried to convince him to maybe go in a different direction, to maybe try to play another role, and he didn't. Is this just a realization at this point that this is the only shot he's ever going to have at doing this? Or I'm having trouble with the rationale of the whole thing.
You know, we can't put ourselves inside Tim's, you know, mind, but, you know, look, he is a competitor. Baseball didn't work out. Look, we're talking about a world-class athlete, the fact that he's even trying to do this. And sometimes as a competitor, you know, you want to keep going until you just simply can't. So, again, being 34, having to play a different position, having to cover kicks, I just think it's going to be a heavy lift, guys, for Tim Tebow to make it when it's all said and done.
Mike Tannenbaum with us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Bob Schuessen and Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You know, Mike, I was just the radio announcer. You were the general manager. You brought him to the Jets. I lived this from a distance, but what I saw with Tim Tebow, and correct me if I'm wrong, was the last guy to leave the first guy in. You know, he was 3.5 hours before games would start. I'd be in the radio booth, look down in the field. There'd be nobody in the stadium except Tim Tebow on the field in a full lather, in warm-up gear, throwing balls all over the place to whatever, you know, backup wide receiver coach agreed to come over with him early to run routes for him. Then, though, when I thought about it at the time, like, that was the problem. The only thing he ever seemed to practice was being a quarterback. And I think you guys wanted to, him to embrace that larger view of do all of these different things. Be a Swiss Army knife. Be a tight end. Be an H-back. Be a wildcat guy. You know, am I getting that wrong historically? Like, do you think Tim Tebow would have been in the NFL from then until now if he would have embraced back then what you wanted to him to embrace, but he just wouldn't?
Yeah. Look, he is obviously he's a great competitor. He was a historically great college football player. You don't get that without being a really hard worker, which you obviously saw, Bob. And yeah, we did have a vision. Probably it was more akin to what Brad Smith did for us. You know, and we're going back, you know, 10 plus years, guys, where, you know, Brad was a very versatile player and a great contributor to a lot of good teams. Yeah, for Tim, again, hard to say, like, inside, you know, was it always about just being a quarterback, but I think the way our game has evolved, there are different ways like he can help an offensive team. But again, you know, and I know it's not, you know, the sexiest thing to talk about, but backup players on offense play special teams. That's why you see aging backup running backs have a hard time sticking on, because unless they're covering kicks, it's really hard for them to dress on game day. Receivers, tight ends. And to me, like, if he makes the team, the locker room is going to know, like, he either earned it or he didn't.
Right.
And I do agree that Urban Meyer has to be careful here, because he can't just make this about, like, hey, these are former players of mine. He wants to have it where the best 53 players make the team.
Mike, let's shift gears here to Aaron Rodgers in that situation. I know if you're on the other end of the phone and you're trying to find a way to get it done, you're not hanging up. I know you've said that before. If you're Brian Gutekunst now and you have tried and tried and tried, where does the rubber hit the road here? When do you come to the realization that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to come back?
You know, Chris, just for the record, we use the exact same technique with Bob at the Jets. He said no, 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 and no. I think it was like the fifth or sixth time that we asked him to be our lead play-by-play guy did we finally get, you know, Bob was choosing over the finish line. So I just wanted to make sure we had the record straight on that.
Bob's a little overrated as opposed to Aaron Rodgers.
I think it's a lateral move.
But, in all seriousness, guys, I would say this. It's really, like, there's a couple inflection points. Obviously, from a salary cap accounting standpoint, June 1st is a huge day. But then training camp, you know, what does Aaron Rodgers do? That will be the story. If he shows up, then there's a path to victory and a solution. If he doesn't show up, really what happens, Chris, is there's a massive inflection point for the organization, which is this. Do we ask him, do we simply just put him on a retire list and he never plays again, or a Packer? Or at some point do we say, oh, like, that's not productive, because, making this up, Denver offers us 3 number one picks, Patrick Surtain and Drew Locke. Like, we got to take that trade, because if Aaron Rodgers is not going to play here, getting, you know, those number of assets for one player, that's something we need to do. So I think the real inflection point when it's all said and done is going to be training camp.
Does this tell you anything about Aaron Rodgers, that he has handled this way? Or how many things might there be going on, Mike, behind the scenes that we don't know about? What, from the outside looking in, what do you think of Aaron Rodgers now? And is it any different than what you thought of Aaron Rodgers 2, 3, 4 years ago?
You know, look, I've had the privilege of, you know, running a couple of franchises, and I would just say that there's oftentimes much more than meets the eye. So, we don't know what the story is. There's two sides to every story, and hopefully there's a resolution here. Obviously, he feels strongly for some reasons. I'm sure some of them will come to the surface. Some will never know. I do think there's a little bit of a Tom Brady effect, guys, meaning that, you know, Tom Brady leaves. He was in a wildly successful situation. He went to a place where he now had more say. He certainly seemed to be happy and obviously won a championship. And I think when we hear the noise about Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, I think part of that has to be like, hey, look, Tom Brady left a good situation and it got better. That's what I want as well.
Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider with us here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike, briefly on Deshaun Watson, this situation continues to play out. How do you see this playing out here moving forward? Does it all just really depend on what's going to happen if there's a settlement that appears to be coming, or is it just a situation where you're the Texans and you're going to ride this out absolutely as long as you need to?
Yeah, this is one where you just have to defer the league. It's a league matter now. And, you know, his eligibility has to be clarified by them. And once that happens, I think a lot of other action steps will follow. But it really starts with the league's determination on whether he'll be eligible.
One last one for me. Zach Wilson with the Jets. Mike, if you were in that position right now, would you prefer to bring in another veteran, a Nick Foles, a Nick Mullins type? Or would you be okay handing a guy like that the job right out of the gate and say, go take it?
You know, every situation is a little bit different, but generally speaking, I do think having an older guy around with wisdom and experience is sensible. You know, we had that for years with Mark Brunell and, you know, Chad Pennington. And again, we're going back a long time. It was a different era, but, you know, he sat, and obviously I think that helped his development. You know, then Mark Sanchez came in and played right away and obviously did very well early in his career. So there's more than one way to go. You know, every situation is different. I would be slightly concerned about the pandemic and how much access you're going to have to players. I think last year's rookie quarterbacks, you know, need to not be given a complete mulligan, but, you know, I think having more time now to evaluate them is the appropriate thing to do.
Mike, you're the best, and thanks for not firing me my first year with the Jets. I do appreciate it.
Well, look, hey, Bob, you've outlasted Tim Tebow, so, you know, there's lots to be said to that, right?
I've outlasted every single person other than Woody Johnson. I mean, that's it. Me and Marty and Woody are the last three standing from, I think, from when you were there.
There you go.
Mike,
well deserved.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
you overpaid, Mike.
That's it. Being as vanilla as possible has its advantages. Hey, Mike, thanks a million. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that's Mike Tannenbaum giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Hey, before we get back to the phones, this will be a tease for a different day. We got a million calls and a lot to talk about. I did almost get fired by the Jets my first year of having the job 20 years ago. And it's a really good story. Have you ever told you that story?
Is this the San Diego story?
Oh, yeah, but there's so much more you don't know. It's a great – we have to do that a different day this week.
Oh, wow.
Like, if we play This Is Your Life and we have, like, a Chris Carlin, you know, when did you almost get fired by someone story as well that will entertain mm-hmm. people. But it's one of those – it's just – it shows you, like, the lunatic fringe that is the NFL and is, like, a completely naive 20-whatever-year-old. I almost got caught up in it. But it was a funny story.
Well, I didn't almost get fired, Bob. I did, but thanks.
Well, there you go. Yeah, maybe we can talk a little bit about that, too. Not to drag
it. 888-729-3776. Back to the calls right now. Let's hit Val in the Bronx up next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus on Bart and Hahn. What's up, Val?
Good afternoon, my man, Chris. How you doing, Bob?
Good, Val.
Chris, you're moving around on me during the day, and now you're pushing my buttons. I called to talk football with you, and you went into that Russell thing. You know how I feel. If you remember me, you know how I feel mm-hmm. about Russell. The dude looks, 20 minutes before game time, he looks like he was thinking about that game at 9 o'clock the night before and could not wait to get to the gym. You know how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to get to my 2 points football talk, and I'm going to ask your opinion, Chris, because you know how I feel about you. I trust your judgment. Am I? This could be a crazy take, and it's going to take time to wait and see. But our situations are similar right now. We both have brand new head coaches, and we both have potentially franchise-changing quarterbacks. Would it be the craziest thing in the world if 3 years from now we're looking at Trevor Lawrence? I mean, as bona fide a talent as the kid supposedly is, we're looking at him the same way we were looking at Darnold just before he left, and because Urban Meyer, are you already seeing the kind of gimmicks that he's trying, you know, that college game, he was never really in the pro game. He's been out of the game for a while. Salah, while he's a assistant, he's somebody who comes from an NFL program. Can you imagine if Salah actually turns out to handle Zach Wilson better then Urban Meyer handles Trevor Lawrence.
Well,
and Meyer ends up looking like a Nick Saban years from now.
The thing about it is, hey, Val, the thing is, anything's possible. If I'm betting that both of the quarterbacks are going to be pretty good. I'm betting that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a superstar in the league for a long time. Zach Wilson, I think, has got a chance to be really good. Of course, that's possible. But I can't sit here and tell you it's probable, Bob. I can't do that.
There's no way that Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence will either of them be dealt even close to the hand that Sam Darnold was dealt the past 3 years. And by the way, there is no chance that Sam Darnold will be dealt the same hand. He already has a different hand dealt to him in Carolina than he had the 3 years that he was here. So, like, I still think Sam Darnold can do this. I think Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson will do this. I think all three can have very good careers.
You are a Sam Darnold apologist.
Sam Darnold is going to drop back on opening day, look to his right, throw a three-yard pass to Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey's going to go, whoop, gain 35 yards, and Sam's going to look at his stat sheet and go, I just threw the ball 3 yards. I've got 35 yards now on my stat column. Christian McCaffrey, where have you been my whole life? On top of that, he's got DJ Moore, and he's got Robbie Anderson, and he's got the rest of that supporting cast in 3 years with the Jets. The best skill guy that Sam Darnold had to play with was Robbie Anderson. He's a free agent from Temple. Now he's McCaffrey. Now he's got DJ Moore. It's a totally different set of circumstances.
I guess
for
him. Just forgetting about Vincent Smith, but that's okay.
You know what? I should be yelling at you as the Steeler guy. I was told that they were going to have Le'Veon Bell roll in here, and he was going to be everything. They gave Le'Veon Bell the ball 700 times in 2 years. He never made a play, and I blame that on you.
Who left the Steelers? Name one player who's left the Steelers and been better after he left.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
That is
Cliff,
a very good point. Charlotte, they know when to say goodbye.
Up next, Cliff and Charlotte on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Cliff, what's up, buddy?
Not so much, fellas. I just wanted to say that, go back to the basketball talk for a second. I think even if the Lakers lose tonight, they'll still be good for the playoffs. But I wanted to touch on the Knicks. With the ball that Julius Randle has been playing and even seeing some of the other young players, it's a wonderful thing for me to see that Kobe Mamba mentality. If you look at Jordan Clarkson, what he's doing this year, Brandon Ingram in the last couple of years, and even D'Angelo Russell, the DNA of Kobe has been placed on them, those players that were young with him his last couple of seasons in the league, and has allowed those guys to become superstars. And that's why I kind of want to get you guys' thoughts. I'm enjoying you guys filling in. And long rest, rest well, Kobe Bryant, man.
It's interesting. I hadn't really thought of it that way. Because
yeah, I hadn't either.
Jordan Clarkson is going to be the sixth man of the year, in my view. I can understand that thought where you get things that are really plugged into you early that maybe you don't figure out until later. I guess we could give some credit there. I mean, I can't sit there and tell you it's the whole reason why these players have become who they've become.
The Kobe tree? I mean, I believe it. How is that type of a guy and that mentality and watching him work every day not going to rub off on a younger player? Of course you're going to watch him and learn from him and try and emulate him.
I absolutely think you will. I just don't know that later on is when it's all of a sudden going to click for you. When you change situations, if that has much more of a big impact on what you're trying to become. You know, or is
yeah,
Julius Randle tapping into what he learned now from Kobe Bryant and 4 years later? It's not a knock on Kobe at all. It's just he came here and he has worked as hard as he has to transform himself as a player. What is it about right now that made it kick in? Is it the fact that he's been in a different situation and he was as disappointed with what he was last
year?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a random thought. It's an interesting thought. You'd have to probably go to each of those players and ask them, what did watching Kobe do what he did mean to you in your career? But if there is a line to draw between those guys, he's a pretty solid line to draw. I mean, they all were with him and probably all took something from him.
It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Earlier with Mike Tannenbaum, who gave us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And up next, it is that popular segment, Audio Files. We are going to hear on why, in fact, the Jets do need to bring in a veteran quarterback and why Aaron Rodgers may not want what you think he wants. It's all lying ahead. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen, filling in for Barton Hahn right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Until you say something publicly, bro, it don't matter. And when the quarterback, the franchise, the face comes out and says, I no longer want to be here, that's 100% out of there.
If Jordan and Pippen couldn't get rid of Jerry Krause, how is Aaron Rodgers going to get rid of Gutekunst? It's not like replacing a good coach. A GM is totally different. And you just can't let a player do that.
I do think they're going to have to consider whether they should trade him. I just don't see that happening soon.
I got a bunch of things to say about Aaron Rodgers. Bob Wischusen and Chris Carlin here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. It is Bob and Chris in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, your smart speaker. Guests appear via the Goodyear hotline, and right now it is time to talk a little Aaron Rodgers. That'll be the first topic of Audiophiles. All right, if you can't make up with Aaron Rodgers, if you can't find a way to bridge this divide, does that mean that the general manager that doesn't get this problem solved should be fired? Well, A.J. Hawk was on KJZ, and he had something to say about whether or not the Aaron Rodgers situation should cost a general manager in Gutekunst's job.
I don't get the impression from Aaron that he wants the GM fired by any means. I don't think he's calling for that. But, yeah, like any relationship, I feel like communication is gigantic. You need to let people know how you feel. And I feel like over the years, it seems like with what Aaron's got going on, I don't think it was ever one big thing or one thing that put him over the edge to make him upset. I think it's just been building and building over time, just little things over and over again, I guess, whatever that may be, whether he feels like he wasn't a part of the process. And Aaron's not trying to make draft picks for the team or tell them what they need to do. I think he just wants to be involved a little bit, and he's wanted to be involved over the years of, hey, why are we doing this? What's the reason behind it? What are you thinking here? And I don't even know if Aaron wants to give a ton of input. I would assume he just wants to be in the loop and know what's going on and know where the direction is that the team is heading.
You know, Chris, I'm wondering, how much do you think it is all of these little things, or how much do you think it came to a head because of the Jordan Love pick?
I think it's the Jordan Love thing that has led to everything else. He wanted weapons. He wanted something else to help him. And instead, they traded up to take his replacement. And look, I get it. I don't know why you're still aggravated after you just went out and won the MVP. So not only do you want to stick the knife in, but now you want to twist it. That's what you want to do.
Here's what I'm wondering about. If I could draw a parallel to how Aaron Rodgers has handled his situation and how Tom Brady handled what I think is just about the same situation. At about the same age, with far more accomplishments under his belt, the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, right? They did this 7 years ago. What was Tom Brady's response to the Patriots drafting Jimmy G? They went to four more Super Bowls and won three, and Brady's play forced Jimmy G off the team. They had no choice but to trade Garoppolo because they knew they couldn't get rid of Brady because he kept playing his way to the point that it was unavoidable that he was the quarterback. I'm stunned that Aaron Rodgers doesn't look at this situation the same way. Great. Draft Jordan Love. You know what I did? I went 13-3 and won an MVP last year. What, am I afraid I'm going to lose my job to this guy? The fact that if it is true that the Love trade has gotten this much under the skin of Aaron Rodgers is amazing to me. Just keep doing what Tom Brady did. Keep winning. At some point, Jordan Love's going to be off the team because you won't give the job up.
That first of all, I mean, and that was only a third-round pick. That's how competitive Brady was when it was, you know, down with Garoppolo. But then you now have Rodgers. Listen, what you're saying in theory makes sense. This is not the guy that does anything in theory or rationally. Look at the relationships in his life and how easily he has severed them. And he doesn't seem to really ever put himself in a position where he's going to deal with that. He's not going to deal with any garbage. He's going to get what he wants. And that's what this is coming down to. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded, and he's going to be starting somewhere else next year. That's just what's going to happen come September.
I got to tell you, as the radio guy of the Jets, I would kill for them to have this problem at some point, right? Like trying to figure out how to make the MVP happy, because that means at some point that player turned into an MVP. Maybe Zach Wilson someday will be that. Right now, I think what he's wondering and what the Jets are wondering is, are they going to bring in a veteran quarterback to compete with him for the job? Well, he seems to have the right mindset. Here's Zach Wilson on what he thinks the importance is of starting, but whether or not he thinks he's got to make it his.
Well, you know, obviously that's important, you know, but that's not my focus right now. My focus is to learn the offense, keep getting better every single day, you know, do what I can with the guys around me. And I think the rest takes care of itself, you know. In this position, the coaches want to play the best player, and that position's got to be earned. You know, I got to go in there and I got to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, that'll take care of itself.
Look, he's going to be starting opening day.
Correct.
I don't think it would hurt to bring in a veteran, and not to push him, but Nick Foles, Nick Mullins, somebody like that, that if, let's just say you're not terribly comfortable week one, but maybe you're thinking week four, week five, that you have the option to do that. The Jets are not winning a Super Bowl this year. The Jets are not making the playoffs this year. You are looking for growth across the board and continued improvement. If it were me, I would rather play a guy a week late than a week early.
I'm just thinking if he gets mono, I don't want Luke Falk to be the quarterback. That's really the only reason that I want to go ahead and get Nick Foles. I am under no illusion that Zach Wilson is not going to be the Jets starter week one. He will be the starting quarterback week one. I will be shocked if he's not. And it's almost a reason for concern. If he's not able to show everyone as the second pick in the draft that he's ready to go do this. But, you know, the idea that if he gets hurt, misses a few games, which is not like out of the realm of possibility from what we've seen, just to have a quarterback like Joe Flacco was, even if you're losing, but just a competent quarterback that can come in, stabilize things, and, you know, and play representative football, because they haven't even had that when Sam Darnold has been off the field the last few years.
This is what's wrong with the situation in the league, though, right now, is that, yes, you want him to play, but, Bob, honestly, do you want him to be able to control the whole operation, or are you just going to throw him out there and hope for the best? I don't want to make the same mistakes that I've made before. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about that. I've always been told that there is no substitute for playing. I just, like, go out and make your mistakes. You're a rookie. You do have a honeymoon period. You know, I have no problem with him going out and making his mistakes on the field and hopefully learning from them. The Jets, they just need this kid to go be the quarterback, I think, on opening day. As far as the Mets are concerned, when are they going to get Jacob deGrom back? Well, Jeff Passan was on SportsCenter, and he did spend some time talking about deGrom's injury and also what it means for the Mets.
There's a hope within the organization that Jacob deGrom is going to spend the minimum time on the injured list, that he just needs a little time to get healthy, and that this is not going to be the sort of thing that lingers. Of course, We've seen in the past with the Mets where they say that a player is going to be on the injured list for the minimum amount of time, and then a month later it's like, where did this guy go? Now, it's not like the Mets are lacking good pitching this season. Taijuan Walker has been fantastic. Marcus Stroman's been fantastic. The Mets, with a 3.00 ERA, second best in all of baseball. But if you take Jacob deGrom 0.68 out of that, it jumps up to 3.45, which still good enough for top six in baseball. And really the reason why the New York Mets right now have won five in a row and occupy first place in the National League East.
You know, this really burns me a little bit because it should have been done 10 days ago. He should have been on the IL last week. And it was completely avoidable on their part. And hopefully that is the case. The MRI's clean or all that stuff. That's fine. But last week, the MRI was clean. And for some reason, they didn't put him on the IL when it would have only cost him an extra 3 days to make sure that he was good, that he was 100% and
but
ready to go.
If the MRI's clean and the player wants to pitch, like what? I mean,
I have to protect him from himself? Because clearly in the game on Sunday, the entire day, he had a little hitch in what he was doing as he was walking around. Something wasn't right.
Yeah. Look, you can't toy with Jacob deGrom. I agree. He is not just their best pitcher. He is their most important player. But if the MRI is clean and he's saying this is just a little soreness and I can play through it, I don't have a problem with sending him out there.
Yeah,
Now you deal with it before it becomes something more serious.
I do when it could just be a couple of more days and just pushing back another start and maybe I get one less start from him this year. He's too valuable to me to really let him go out there through soreness and potentially aggravate it, which, you know, they say it's a slightly different injury. All they're saying is that it moved down a little bit in his back.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that the two are not tied together.
If he ends up, and maybe he goes on the IL here a little bit later than he should, but if this turns out to be missing a start or two and that's it, especially for a team that at some point in the not-too-distant future, it sounds like, going to get Carrasco, Lugo, and Syndergaard all back to add to a rotation where Stroman and Taijuan Walker have pitched well, and I think I saw the bullpen has given up one home run in their last 43 innings. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good enough. Like, this should just be for the Mets a blip on the radar of what still can be a really good season. The thing that worries me about the Mets more than anything is the immaturity, right? I mean, just inventing a hitting coach and creating a huge unnecessary controversy. And now, instead of just coming out and saying, yeah, we've got two incredibly competitive position players that got into it. It happens. We're making up stories about raccoons and rats running in the hallway of the clubhouse. There's an undercurrent of immaturity that worries me a little bit about this team. But in terms of the talent level, and if DeGrom misses a turn or two through the rotation, they should be able to survive that.
I wonder about the manager's handle on the situation. I don't think Luis Rojas really has a handle on the situation. I do think there is a little bit of the Mets being able to kind of run amok right now. And that's not a good situation at all. One last thing, though.
Yep.
And the fact that it's a 12-10 tomorrow, it will get lost a little bit. Matt Harvey pitching at Citi Field for the first time since leaving the Mets, since getting traded.
That's really interesting.
And that's something that I would want to see.
Yeah.
And I know that he's nowhere near the same pitcher that he was, but that scenario, like that has 30 for 30 written all over it. Matt Harvey's ascent and fall.
Well, that's Audio Files. Bob Wischusen, Chris Carlin, Barton Hahn. We are brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Squeeze in as many calls between now and the top of the hour as we can when we come back on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Susan, Chris Carlin, Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. If you missed any portion of this show, and trust me when I tell you, it is a must listen. You can always find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. We got calls lined up in only a few moments to get to as many as we can. So let's get to Phil in the Bronx, who joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Bob and Chris in for Bart and Han. Hey, Phil.
Stone Cold Chris Carlin. What's up, baby?
Yo.
Bob, I wanted to ask you, the Jets, I'm not worried about the quarterback position. I'm worried about everybody else. They drafted a lot of young players in the secondary, new defensive scheme. What do you feel about defensive leadership, veteran leadership, Richard Sherman, other players, even Carl Lawson is green. What do you think?
Yeah, if they brought Richard Sherman in, I would have no problem with that. But I think Carl Lawson is going to fill a big need. They're going to get C.J. Mosley back. He's been gone for 2 years. I have no idea what to expect from him, but that is a veteran $17 million linebacker that looked really good in the very brief period of time that the Jets had a chance to look at him. But there's no doubt. They went into the draft with a game plan, and their game plan was, we are drafting a quarterback number two, and we're going to help prop him up. We are not going to have happen with this new quarterback what happened with the last quarterback and leave him out there to fight the good fight by himself. So even if they lose games this year, let them lose, 31-27 rather than 20-6. To me, that would, at least for the long term, be much more beneficial for Zach Wilson.
I'm just curious about Mosley, if he's going to actually start the season on the team or if he's going to get traded before that.
Who knows? How are you going to trade a $17 million linebacker who hasn't played in 2 years? There's no trade market for that. With that,
I didn't say there was a market. I just said they'd trade him.
They'd have to eat a bunch of the money. I don't think there's really any reason for them to trade him. I think it's more they know they're going to have to eat a bunch of the money, whether he's on the team or off the team this year. So just eat the money with him on the team and see what he has.
How about Luke and Lehigh Acres next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus? Luke, what's up, buddy?
What's happening, guys? Quick note on the Mets, if they play good defense and have, a good starting five with a reliable bullpen, they could ride it all the way through, just like the 2019 Nats did versus the Astros.
I agree.
On the Mets, I'm not convinced that you're there yet. I think the Mets are a much better team than they have been, but I'm not 100% convinced yet that the Mets are a World Series contender. Right now, I think they're a contender to win the division. That's where I'd put them at the moment.
Yep. Kevin in the Bronx joins us next here on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to talk to you guys and remind you guys of how much of a legend Russell Westbrook is and how much disrespect you guys were hitting him with earlier, man. You got to remember, he did make it to the finals. He just lost to LeBron James. You can't really fault him for that. No. And they were up 3-1 on Golden State, and then Kevin Durant left and then went to join Golden State the next year.
But I think we're on your side of the argument, Kevin. Yeah. Thanks for the call. We're up against it. I think we're on your side of the argument, which is I think he is going to be remembered for probably not being as good, Chris, as some of the players that he is on the same level with, because he was the victim of circumstance in some of these spots where he got close but couldn't get over the top.
I don't think there's any question, and I think in the grand scheme, his legacy is not going to end up being what it should be.
Looking forward to tomorrow.
We'll see.
That's it for us on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.